Welcome to Izzy and Gina in Stitches, informal conversation about life in general and art and embroidery in particular, with me, Izzy Moore.
And me, Gina Ferrari. How are you, Izzy?
I'm okay. I'm feeling, frazzled. This is feeling frenetic.
Yeah.
We're trying to keep to a schedule, keep to a time, because Zoom has got nasty on us and wants to restrict our time.
Yeah, so, doesn't like us waffling on.
No, this is a challenge, I have to admit. So, deep breath. Right, what have I been up to? Drama, Gina.
Drama, as in acting?
No. Oh, drama, okay. Drama as in wheels falling off.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, my famous to-do list, my plan last week, I was going to get my accounts finished for the year. Right. And I was going to reward myself with a nice smoothie at the cafe down in town, and I went to do my accounts and I found that I deleted them.
Oh yes, you did send me a message.
Yes,
so that was a silly thing to do.
it was, so that was time well spent during the past year, being very diligent, writing everything in.
Oh dear.
so the words were said. And then the other wheel that fell off, I was checking my Seascapes course and I discovered, I don't know why I clicked this video in particular, but I clicked it. I thought, that's odd. It seems to stop suddenly. And I normally fade my videos out.
Right.
I thought, that's not right. It was only about 45 seconds. I thought, hang on a minute. And so I found the original and it was supposed to be about 6 minutes. But on the original, though, the video, the visual bit of it also stopped at about 45 seconds. So I thought, it's probably been like that
all the time.
Yeah. All the time. And nobody said anything.
That's strange that nobody said anything.
So I thought, that's very, very odd. Yes. Unless it was one of the ones, because I did have to split my videos up to split all the lessons up. So it might have been one of those ones. I don't know. Anyway, so I had to fix it. So I fixed it, re-uploaded it. And then, of course, I had to check every single video.
Oh, absolutely.
In the whole course. There's something like 70 videos. And I was doing all the links anyway and checking all the links that, you know, if I refer to a previous lesson, that links up properly and all of that. Just sort of, you know, tying up loose ends, tidying up. So I've been through my whole Seascapes course. I've done the whole thing.
At least you'll know it's working and it's good.
And that's a really good point, because having gone through the whole lot, I thought, this is blooming marvellous, you know, if say so myself. and I am quite frankly in awe of last year's me who created it.
Well done you.
Exactly. Well done me. So pat on the back for me. So, you know, wheels came off. So that was like, but now it's all done. I'm thinking, this is blooming good.
Excellent.
So, just a little bit of a plug. It's still open, I think, for the whole of June. So if people want to join. How about you? How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm a bit tired, not sleeping so well, but being, again, very frantic and crazy because I've got so much going on, sort of work-wise and not work-wise. But I'm rather pleased with myself because I actually sat down on Monday and did up, this has to be done today. And I did the things I don't like doing best first. And I had a really good day getting everything in order and doing things, which was why I was nagging you about newsletters and things like that. And then you were saying, oh, you could put this in. I went, no, done it. But I did. I have changed my newsletter.
Oh,
which
bless you. Thank
will
you.
We'll go out soon. I've just been really organized, which was also why you got a message when you said, did I want to test the audio on Monday night? No, not now. I'm going to bed soon.
I can't even remember what that was for.
Because we are going to ask for listeners' questions, please, because we've got an episode about listeners' questions coming up soon. And if you don't give us any questions, there won't be an episode. You want
That's
this podcast?
Right.
And you can go onto the Anchor link that we provide. And if you're feeling really brave, you can record your question and you might feature on the show. Who knows?
That's right. That's what I was doing earlier in the week. Yes. Yes.
And you wanted me to test it.
I did.
Monday evening. And I went, nope.
Nope. So Tuesday morning, I went for a walk, came back. I thought, oh, there's a message on the podcast. Let's listen to this. Who is this?
Guess.
And it was Gina asking me what I had for breakfast.
A really useful question. You can ask us what we've had for breakfast, but I think perhaps you've got more interesting questions than that.
Oh dear, brilliant. So that is all up and running, yes, for audio messages. Hurrah.
Yes.
So shall we get on to our topic?
I think we have to. We've got to crack on, haven't we?
We've got to crack on, yeah. So last week we were talking about what we're calling it, feeling funky. What do we do? How do we get ourselves in the studio? This week, in the groove. How do we get into the groove? We've got through the door. What do we do? What's our, you know, you've got to start, go. What do you do?
Boom.
Boom. What's your first move?
My first move is I usually put something on to listen to.
Yeah.
I either put on a podcast if I've got a podcast to listen to. And sometimes I just sit and listen and don't do anything else. And then, but yeah, that's the way it is. Or sometimes I'll put Radio 4 on and listen to, because I quite like listening to the spoken word. I think I said, if I put music on for some reason, that really distracts me. I just sit and listen to the music.
Yeah.
See, I can't do music as a background. Yeah.
I do the same thing. So I put my little ear pods in, which are noise cancelling, or I put my big headphones on, which are noise cancelling.
Right.
Sometimes if I've put them on, I don't necessarily need to put anything on to listen to, because they sort of do this sort of, it's like a, it muffles the background noises because it's noise cancelling and you can change the level. The headphones are amazing. And it just creates this sort of, it just this sort of feeling of being cocooned. It's feels safe.
Do you know, I don't like that feeling.
Do you not?
I don't like that feeling of shutting out the outside world. It really bothers
me. No, it just calms it all down. Calms it all down. So sometimes that's enough. If I'm doing textiles, so something at my desk near where my sewing machine is or where my collagey things are, I will quite often have a podcast or I'll put a YouTube video up. Right. And something not to do with art, something completely random.
Sure.
You know, about cooking or something completely weird. And I don't watch it, I just listen to it.
Okay.
And there's something about, because the reason I do it is to shut up the voices in my head. Sounds mad.
Right. Sounds Which is mad. Probably why I don't like to cancel things out and have something in my ear. Because I find I'm put a podcast on. And 10 minutes later, I realise I'm not listening to it because I'm too busy.
Oh, that happens to me too. Yeah, that happens to me too. But to start with, having someone else talking to me, so through podcast or YouTube video,
right?
Those or the radio or whatever. Sometimes I would listen to the radio. I haven't so much recently. That's enough, because someone else is talking. I can't talk to myself. I can't say, oh, what are you doing? This is a mess, or this doesn't work, or this is nonsense. You know, I can't talk to myself because someone else is talking to me. So it shuts up that thinking part of my brain. If I want to paint, because I paint standing up, people have made comments before about me painting at my table because of my back. But honestly, it doesn't really.
Do you not have an easel?
No, but I have got my new painting shelf, which I haven't tried yet.
Right, because I've got a desk easel, which I find, so I do stand up, but I
have got a desk easel. I have got a desk easel actually in the back of the cupboard, but that's the thing, it's in the back of the cupboard.
Yep. no good there. No. It needs to be on your desk.
But to be quite honest, it's a while since I've got into the whole mark making paint thing.
Right.
So this year, I don't know what's happened to the time, but I'll be standing up. And because I'm standing up and I'm thinking, right, going to do this thing, I need that energy boost. Right. And so I'll listen to music then, something really sort of uplifting and cheerful, quite funky, and it just sort of gets me moving. And then I'll go on to my next step, which is the sort of like quite energetic sort of mark making and just not thinking. I don't want to think. I want to just relax and just go with it and get some energy and some movement, because I'm standing like you, I'm sure. It's quite, you know, you want to move.
Yes.
You want to move your arm.
Yeah.
So the music just helps me relax and just get into it.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, want another one?
Yeah, go on then.
one of my favorites. I have to say, I don't often go and do things for textiles. If I'm going to do textiles, I know what I'm going to do and just get on and sew or do whatever.
Yeah.
But if I'm going out there and don't know what to do, I will often put a few splodges of paint on a palette. And if I don't know what to paint, I might do a bit of color mixing, put that in my sketchbook to see what colors come up. Yeah. Or I'll just get some canvases and cover them with paint.
Yeah.
And they're not finished paintings, obviously, they're underlayers. And yeah. And that kind of often gets me in the mood. I think, oh, yeah, I can do this. So yeah, that's a really good starter.
Yeah. And can I recommend actually Karen Stamper's course? I think she calls it Free Up Your Sketchbook and Grow.
Right. And yes.
It's using her famous sort of concertina sketchbooks.
Yeah.
But her techniques, if you like, it's like a sub one here, step by step.
Right.
So the course, it leads you through different ways of just making marks.
Sure.
And you can treat it like a step by step, so adding a layer each time. Yeah. Or it could just be that you use one of them or two of them or your favorite one. So it's various things. So like, yeah, just on this concertina book, just taking the line sort of all the way down it, doing loose marks, or dribbling paint, or dribbling ink, or flinging ink, some sort of, like you, just sort of making some sort of move on the surface. So some sort of paint, ink.
It's making scribble, a start.
Yeah, making a start, anything, just anything, so that there's something there. And so having this sort of repertoire from a course like Karen's is really good, because then you've got various things you can try.
Sure.
And keeping it as like a step by step thing. So like you with your boards, I'm just going to put some paint on a board. It confines it to just that thing. You're not then thinking about, I'm going to make a painting and it's going to be marvelous. You're just doing that one thing. So, you know, I'm just going to fling some ink. I'm just going to make a scribble. That's all I'm doing. And
because you're not making a thing, you're not working towards an end goal. Yeah.
And then you've got that thing. And then next time, because another thing, like you would use, just sort of put some paint on a board or whatever. If I've got a leftover palette, or whenever I've got leftover paint, I'll just sort of smear it or paint it on a sketchbook page. I've got a sketchbook just for old paint. I'll put it on the pages just to use it all up. And sometimes they stick together.
Right.
So then you pull them apart and the paper rips. And you think, oh, okay, that's interesting. And then, but it's something. You've got something then. And sometimes I'll just get that book and I'll just think, oh, I like those colours. Oh, I'll just fiddle about with that and add some more.
See, I often do that, but on paper. So I've got a stack of paper that I paint on, leftover paint.
Yeah.
And then I use those for collage, which is one of the other things I will do when I go out in the studio. It's grab bits of paper that I've got, cut them up, play around, which is what I did this week. And you can do that if you've just got an hour.
Just have a play. Yeah. I mean, going back to what I do after I put my pods in, quite often what I first have to do is tidy my desk.
Yeah. Especially... I've got to do that next time I go out there. You saw that yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Shocking.
It was, after all that tidying up.
I know.
It is just papers on my desk, I have to say.
But yeah, so going in and having that desk, you think, oh, I better tidy this up. What I'll do, I'll tidy things up. I think, oh, that's a nice little bit. And I might put it in a pot to keep for later. Or I'll start playing. I'll play with the scraps. And then I start arranging them. And before I know it, I've made a little sort of mini collage. And then the next step would be to make a base. So for me, that's like calico or canvas with some bonsai web, put the scraps on, and you're sort of halfway there to it being a something.
Yeah.
And it, for color mixing or color experiments with the textiles, for me, that would be things like getting the thread scraps and just laying them on top, thinking, oh, that's nice. I might couch that down. That's a nice bit of contrast there. Or, oh, that really needs a green button. And just sort of, you know, or have a rummage, or find something else on my desk.
I'm just thinking, I can't think of any occasion where I've ever thought, oh, that just needs a green button. But there you go.
Different folks.
It is. It's good. It's good that we're different.
But going back to my paint smears in my sketchbook as well. That last Christmas, I think it was the Christmas before, that became a thing. I took a couple of my favorite pages, I scanned them into Photoshop, got them into Photoshop basically. And there's a thing I found on the internet somewhere. Don't ask me to explain how I did it. I didn't really understand it. I just wanted the instructions. I created like a repeating pattern.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is quite odd when it's like an abstract painting.
Yes.
And you sort of have to smoosh the bits together where the joins are. But I did that and I got it printed onto fabric and I made infinity scarves for me and my mum.
Right.
From some paint smears and a sketchbook. That's how
you go in, you start and it leads to something. Because I was thinking actually this putting paint on paper and leftover paint, that's what started my paint collage stitch course.
Yeah.
Which I teach and...
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I know those bits will always get used.
Yeah.
So it's not a waste of time doing it. Yeah.
And same with the seascape. So, but part of, so some people are in the course already for the first little bit. And one of their first exercises is to, well, start gathering all their bits and pieces. And one of my suggestions is that they sort of swatch them, create swatch cards, and just playing with the colors and the textures. It sort of gets you into that frame of mind for what you're going to create. Mm-hmm. And also the scraps. I always keep, I've got a little pot still. It's like a little plastic ricotta pot, washed out, clean, with seascapey scraps from when I made the course. I've still got it. So I can make some more little scrappy bits.
Yeah.
And then that can become cards. And yeah. So
yeah,
I've got boxes
of stuff like that.
I gave myself a pat on the back for not tidying it up last year. I've still got it.
Well done, you. But, tidying up, that's another tactic, isn't it, though?
It is.
Gets you still.
Yeah, because...
Gets you going in the studio.
Yeah, because by tidying up, you can often find things that are half... Well, actually, every single time I find things that I started and thought, oh, I've been wondering where that was. Or,
sure.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that. Oh, yes. That's interesting. But there's a downside to tidying up because, you know, a little aside, I did a massive tidy up last week, went in the studio to find some PVA glue to take to my class.
I know where you're going.
I've put it somewhere safe. I've got about 5 or 6 pots of PVA glue. So they're not tiny and it's not that big a studio. I can't find them. And my jelly plate. I found my jelly plate. I was really excited. I thought, oh, put that aside. I'll do some jelly printing.
I've put that
somewhere safe as well. Oh. Darn it. Never mind.
It is dangerous tidying up.
It is. But it can be good as well. It can start ideas. Yes.
Yeah. And often as well, starting something that has been sitting there for a while, it's been calling to you, you know, do me, come and finish me. You start it. I think this was one of yours as well. You start it and you think.
Pfft. Yeah. Well, that is one of mine. I have a drawer in my studio that just, it's got a label on it that says half finished projects. And... it's things that I've started that I thought were a good idea and one or two of them I still think are a good idea. I just don't really want to do them. but that quilt that I made with the Matisse dancers, that was in that drawer. Yeah. The fabrics and stuff were in that drawer. And so I do occasionally finish it. So if I'm really stuck with something to do, I will get that drawer out and give it a good sort through and see if I can find something that I want to finish. And then I get it out and think, no, I don't really want to finish that. So it immediately makes me find something worthwhile to do.
Yeah.
And it all goes back in my drawer of half-finished projects.
Yes. I think by starting something and realising, I don't want to do this, it makes you realise, no, I want to do this.
Yeah, and it does spark ideas. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, interesting, because I think we're almost through our list, actually.
We're good.
So don't let me forget the idea that just went through my mind. But going back to this, just looking at my notes here, step by step, another person who I've learned so much from in the past year has been Tansy Hagen.
Yes.
Because she has it's quite a methodical approach going from, say, that initial inspiration through to a finished whatever, or at least the point where you could finish it.
Right.
And it's quite step-by-step, like Karen Stamper. You could follow it as a step-by-step, but each step, like Karen's mark-making activities, each step is fun and satisfying.
Right.
So like the little thumbnail sketches.
In its own right.
Yeah, just doing that feels really good. And you just concentrate on that step You don't have to think about what it's going to become or whatever. And there are certain sort of rules, because Tansy likes playing games, so she has a lot of sort of made up rules for things,
right,
which you can break or you can make up your own or whatever. And it, so it gives you that structure, and you only have to worry about what you're doing. But because it's right. satisfying and it looks good, it's fun. And then before you know it, you think, wow, I know where I'm going with this.
Sure.
The whole point is to start, and a step, and sometimes, yeah, step by step really helps. Sometimes I create my own step by step, in that I've been thinking through it, particularly with textiles. I think sure. actually only with textiles. I'll think through something in my head of what I want to do when I'm out and about. So going for a walk, or if I'm on a train or whatever. Yeah. And I'll make notes, and I'll make quite detailed notes and sketches, so that it's like a set of directions for myself.
Right.
So when I come in here, I know exactly what I want to do next.
Yeah.
So like you saying with textiles, you go to your sewing machine, you know what it is you want to do.
Yeah.
And you just get to it.
Just get on with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So step by step really works. No, what I was going to say, the thing that's really struck me just now, and you were saying about it sparking ideas, finding old work. We've not mentioned anything about looking at other people's work or looking at social media or anything. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, but that doesn't actually...
No.
I mean, and if it does, if I see something else and it sparks an idea, I'm usually really disappointed what I do, because you're trying to reproduce what somebody else is doing. It doesn't work. You've yeah. got to find your own way, haven't you? And do
yeah,
your own thing.
I think so, yeah. I think yeah. it's actually more distracting to... If I come in here and I open Instagram or something like that, I'm lost.
Yeah, no, I don't
lose it, that spark.
I don't get much of a phone signal around here, and I don't have internet really consistently in my studio. So that stops me looking at my phone and doing stuff out there, yeah. which is quite nice.
That's really good.
It doesn't distract me.
Although I have said my last one, actually, if I come in here and I think actually it's not like I come in here and think I don't know what to do, I'm going to do one of these things. Because if I'm feeling in a bit of a grump, this... Again, if it's someone else's idea, it actually makes it worse. I feel worse.
Yes.
But sometimes I do come in here to, like, I've called it to scratch the itch. You know, you've seen people doing things with jelly plates, say, you know, yeah. or doing whatever. And you think, I want to do that. I just have to give that a go.
Yeah.
You know, just scratch the itch. Yeah. yeah. Get it out of your system. Do it. And say, well, I've done that now.
Well, yeah, no, in some and ways, it works, because that I made that little stamp this week from a rubber, and I'd seen somebody else do that.
Oh, right.
And I thought, oh, I'd forgotten. I've got some rubbers for making stamps, because I've done it. So I made that little stamp, and then I stamped some bits of paper and thought, oh, they'd be good in collage. And then,
yeah.
So it did start an idea, but it wasn't somebody else's idea. I mean, I've carved stamps before. That's not a big deal, but yeah.
Yeah. So. I've got a box of stamps.
Like you stamps, do.
Rubbers. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah.
And stamps, because some of them are carved. But
yeah.
I went through a bit of an obsession of buying rubbers.
Erasers for our American listeners.
Erasers. Yeah. I went through a phase of buying them to put in the stash.
Yeah.
Still there.
Stash? You've got a stash? I only found two, I have to say. And I've got one I've carved, and I've got one I might do something else in. They're not very big. I could do with them being bigger or squarer.
Yeah, I've got a couple of inches by it, yeah.
By an inch, about 2 bone, yeah.
Hey ho! So
we are for our list, Isabel.
Our list.
Woo.
I've lost track of when we started. So.
Hey, diversions and discoveries. Have you got any diversions and discoveries today?
I have been diverted. Is that the same thing?
Yeah, it is.
Is it? it is very shortly. If not already, it depends where you live, elderflower season. And I've made elderberry elixir, which I highly recommend. I think, was it last year before first lockdown? I can't remember. I lose track now.
We're going to need your recipe for this.
Yeah. Oh, I'll send that. But I made elderflower cordial, which I know you have made.
Yes. Yeah.
And I didn't make it until a year or so ago. And I thought, oh, this is nice. But I don't tend to drink sweet drinks as such.
No, I don't. That's why I've still got it left over from last year, because I make it because I think it's a nice idea. And then I don't really like cordials because I think, oh, I'm just drinking sugar.
Yeah, exactly. So I've never really, it's like homemade lemonade.
Yeah.
I remember doing it at school. Was that a cooking lesson? Did they really do that as a cooking
Probably.
Lesson?
Probably, how to dissolve sugar in lemon juice.
How to dissolve, yeah, I know.
However, anyway. A little tip.
Yeah.
Elderflower cordial, it is quite nice in a little gin and Prosecco cocktail. Just saying.
So anyway, I'm obsessed really at finding, I need to find like the mother load of elderflower, preferably somewhere where no one else knows where they are. So at the moment we are trespassing on the fields, which they still haven't built on. We're hopeful that they've stopped building altogether, actually. If it could revert to just being like common land for the town, that would be superb. Anyway, it's all quite nice and wild. So we had a little march around there. I found a few places. But then the other day I had to go down to town for something and I came back up the hill and I thought, I'm going to go for an explore. And where the railway is in town, back in the late 60s when they cut the railway line, so it stops at our station, it used to go over the main road, even into the 90s. It carried on going over the main road and there were some gates that held up all the traffic. So it's only recently, actually, it's been the other side of the road. So the buffers and things are still there. And the old track bed is still there. And the hope is one day it will connect up again. But, you know, pigs might also fly. So, you know, live in hope, though. So I thought, I'm going to go for an explore. I wonder, because there's a little way into the woods, just on the way back up to our house. I wonder, there must be some elder in there. So I had a little walk through the woods and I thought, oh, I can go down the bank towards where the railway bed is. So I pootled down there. And it's the sort of thing that, you know, every teenager in town probably knows their way around this place. Anyway, I got down there. I thought I could walk along where the railway was. And I had sandals on. It wasn't ideal. And it was a bit sort of moist, not muddy as such, but it was a bit, and it was a bit rambly and nettly, but I was on a mission. I was going. And I walked all the way along. And I found a way into the back of the industrial estate where the post office depot is, which we sometimes have to get to if we've missed a parcel. So I thought, well, this is a nice walk. And then I went back to the railway. And then I went up the other side of the bank and I found myself on a private road to the water treatment works. And luckily the gate was open.
Right.
Or so I thought, right, walk fast, not trespassing. Don't let there be a tanker. Oh my goodness, there's a tanker. It's okay. I know I'm not supposed to be here. Keep walking. And then I found on the right side of the road and then dived back into the woods and came out. So I had a really good explore. And then I found elder on the corner of the road just at the bottom of our street.
Typical.
Yeah. So anyway, but it's a really good one. And I don't think anyone else would be up on the verge trying to reach. So I found the source, but good. I'm going to make a little bit of cordial, but mostly it's the berries I want later on for the elixir.
Brilliant. Sounds good.
It's alcoholic. It's good. Yeah. How about you? How are you?
I wasn't sure I had anything. And then I was listening, driving to work yesterday. I was listening to Helen Perry because her Just Bloody Post-it podcast is back for series four. And this is the first episode of series four. And I think it was title something like Make More Money, which sounds like, you know, some wonderful promise, but it wasn't. But it was actually, she had a couple of people on there. I really can't remember their names at the moment, so apologies for that. But they were just chatting about, especially women in creative businesses, and how we undercharge all the time and we all do it, and what we need to do, and I'm guilty of this. You think, I've made this thing, I need to put a price on it. Nobody's going to pay that for it. So you mark it down. And basically what they were saying is, it's not our business to say what other people can afford and what they will spend their money on. You have got to value your time, value the work you put into things, put a decent price on it. And if people can't afford it or don't want to buy it, that's up to them.
You only need one person.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought, it's so true, because I know I've sold work far too cheaply in the past. You know, when you put hours into it, courses as well. She was talking about online courses and giving them a good price. And I mean, it sounds awful because, you know, we've all had lots of lovely people do our courses. But she said, if you underprice and sell things cheaply, you get the people who are actually a bit of and I'm not saying anybody's taken our courses is a bit of a pain in the bum, but you do get those people who demand all the time. And she said, the cheaper the course, the more people will demand.
That's interesting. Isn't
that interesting? And what, and the other girl she was talking to said, I'm so glad you said that because it's true. And
that's, but if you really true. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I did my free book, my Stitch book thing.
Yeah.
That was the first time I ever had, I always do a feedback form at the end.
Yeah.
That was the first time I had a negative, because the first thing I used to dread, it would say, someone has left you feedback. You think,
oh no, do I want to read this?
Yeah. Click the form.
Yeah.
And the first question was, you know, what did, you know, very good, is okay, yeah, disappointed or
yeah.
And it was the first one. I opened it, I thought, oh, they're not happy. What?
No.
It's free.
Exactly. Yeah. And the people, and she said the cheaper it is, the more people will demand and ask and expect, funnily enough.
But that was a real shock.
Counterintuitive, isn't it?
But, yeah.
But anyway, what I took from that was just charge a realistic price. You know, don't take the mickey. Don't sort of try and think, oh, I can make as much as I can out of this.
No. But I think if you have put in, if it's a little bit of a stretch or an investment, you're going to then focus. You're going to get the most out of it.
Yeah.
If it's just sort of cheap or just or free.
Everyone and anyone signs up, even if they're not interested. Then
you just sign up and not do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, that's no use to them, really, because it goes to the heap of other things they haven't finished. And it's no use to us because we're there going, ready to help.
Exactly.
And they're, so
yeah, exactly. And so and it made a lot of sense, and I'm going to listen to it again actually, because I thought it was just
quite... I will listen to that, that sounds good.
Yeah, it is one of my favorite podcasts, and she's one of my favorite people on Instagram. She gives away so much good information.
She does. Yeah. And to be honest though, I haven't listened to many of her podcasts. I did at the beginning, but I don't know, because I know they're good, but she's not one of my go-tos. They're quite short.
They are quite short. And she does like one on a Friday, which she calls just bloody post-it notes, which I think is brilliant concept.
I think that's a really good idea. Yeah.
And they're five minute little sound bites. They're excellent. Yeah, really good. So I do recommend her podcast, especially if you've got a creative business. Lots of good advice. And this is like a little half a discovery, because I had to walk back from the other village this morning because I dropped my car off to need the brakes done. So I came back through the woods with the dog. And there's a tree that often has little things hanging on it. Christmas, there's little fairies and things. But it was covered in knitted hedgehogs. And it made me smile. And I thought, it's little things in like that in life that make it all worthwhile. Knitted hedgehog That's trees.
Brilliant. That's brilliant.
Yeah. So anyway, I think we're probably done, aren't we?
I think we are done.
Wow. Amazing. Yes. Well, thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed our short, sharp version of the podcast. Remember, send in your questions if you've got any questions. Please do subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on Apple or Spotify, you can leave us a nice review. It helps others find us, and on Instagram as well, everywhere, all the things. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, and in the meantime, you can find us at isabelmoore.co.uk and ginaferrari-art.co.uk. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, get us. 5 minutes left.
So I've got my big clock, but I forgot to actually look at what time it was when we started. So that's brilliant. No good. Thank you for listening. If you like the music, it's by Ixon, and you can find it at soundcloud.com/Ixon, and the link is also in the show notes.